The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Umrit, no! Umrit, where'd he go? David, where'd Umrit go?
What are we doing? What are we doing again?
Umrit and Stuart are dead.
No!
did that pee? Wait, who's this third guy? Who are you?
Hi, I'm filling in today.
Who are you?
I'm Andrew, your best friend.
Welcome back to the Gamers Workshop Season 2.
Season 2?
Our first
Season
guest two. On the show. Special guest.
Special guest, Andrew Hill. Oh my goodness, guys. We're not talking about Green Hill Zone. This is Andrew Hill.
Andrew Hill Zone, and I'm happy to be here.
Wonderful. So, guys, speaking of the death of Stuart and Umrit, where did their souls go? Well, they went straight into this episode of Five Nights at Freddy's Possessing Bonnie and Chica. Guys, let's get started.
That's crazy. There's going to be a voice changer. Like, they're both going to have voice filters in the next episode where they just sound really robotic.
Yeah. So, guys, Five Nights at Freddy's. It's a massive franchise. What is your experience with the game?
I have a lot of experience with the game. That was like my obsession for many years. It's literally like what got me like started like into YouTube, because I used to make Five Nights at Freddy's plushie videos. I'd make them sing to songs, whatnot. Anyways, it's a whole thing. But I did the Lego Five Nights at Freddy's stop motion, which got 4 million views on YouTube.
4.7 million views.
4.2.
I might have seen this one.
You might have come across it, but yeah, Five Nights at Freddy's, like, I was obsessed with that game for a long time. I played the games. I never finished any of the games. I wasn't that good, but I watched a lot of videos on the games. I played the games.
Nice,
I love
dude.
Love that series.
And Andrew?
Yeah, I had a pretty big FNAF phase for a while as well, especially, like, with the game theorist community with FNAF, and so I was obsessed with watching those kinds of videos up until it started getting a little insane, and so I slowly phased out, but it still was like a big thing in my life. I just loved watching it. My brother and I would play the games. Weirdly, I think the only one that I've completed is probably like FNAF World.
Oh yeah, FNAF
but
World.
That other than that, like I was probably too scared to finish the rest of the games.
See, when FNAF World came out, I was like, okay, wait a minute, because I was a scaredy cat. I still am. This was a game that I can enjoy, boys.
Exactly. And it was bad, but it was incredible. I think the idea of just glitching through the game into, like, the like, warp zones was just really, like, that hooked me. And then it was just some random bull from there. But it was, like, the, like, Easter egg with Old Man Consequences. That's the kind of that I love. I've sweared like four times in this
you
sentence.
You are gonna kill me, man. Like,
you're really gonna get your editing hours worth.
I'm getting my editing hours done, bro. I'm gonna put that as like a specific role. Like,
yeah. No Andrews on the premises.
So guys, you talked about your experiences. My experience, I still am experiencing FNAF right now as we speak, because Secret of the Mimic for a new FNAF game, like there's so many new, I really like this is controversial, but I do like the exploratory FNAF games where you're not just stuck in the office or stuck in the bedroom, or
like the newer games,
right? But the old ones are still really good. I still really like them. I just like having that a little bit of autonomy on what I can do.
I think Security Breach was such a like fun new ground for the game. Even though it was like the glitchiest game I've ever played when I first got it, it was still, I think that's maybe what made it so fun, is like you could kind of detach it from that. And all of the most fun parts was just trying to see how you could like break the game. The idea of moving around the Pizzaplex was just so exciting, and getting to choose what you want to do next.
Yeah, dude. Like, I think I was in either grade 11 or maybe even grade 10. Wow, that was a long time ago. But when Security Breach came out, I had an essay due. Okay, I had an essay due the next day. But I saw Security Breach and I was like, all right, boys, let's take a little break.
Were you a Gator Golf guy or were you a Roxy Raceway?
Dude, Gator Golf all the way. Like, hey, Roxanne Wolf, peak. Okay, I'm just saying, But like, Monty Gator. Okay, boys.
Now we're cooking.
Bro had the glasses, bro, was trying to riz me up too. Like, okay, I wasn't going to fall for it, but still, like, at least he tried.
I actually never played that game. I have not played, like, any of the new FNAF games because at a certain point, I just, like, I stepped away from that. So, like, Security Breach and, like, everything else after that, except for the FNAF movie.
We've talked about our experiences with FNAF. How important do you think lore is to experiencing the game?
Essential.
Yeah. I feel like you could play the games and they could just be a straightforward, like you play them, you don't really grasp what's going on. But I think it's not going to be as fun of a game if you don't know at least the general understanding of what's going on. Because it's so cool once you know like the lore behind it.
I agree. I think that the games, like, technically speaking, on their own, are not that crazy, right? Like, it's just, like, point and click, whatever. But the lore is, like, what made FNAF such a huge franchise. You got a movie, you got books. It's because of the lore.
That lore spawned so many other games, like, trying to replicate that as well. Like, it just, even if the lore kind of went off the rails at some point, like, that initial story is what captivated so many people.
And there's a reason why so many popular games, especially horror games, have a lot of lore. It's one thing to, you know, make the scary game, but it's another thing to create the atmosphere. You know, what's gonna...
The world building.
The world building, plus, like, theories, you know, having your community kind of try to guess what's happening next. That's what also helps increase popularity.
Getting game theory on your game is generational.
I know, right? Like, especially when something like crazy, like, dude, there's these spirits of kids possessing these animatronics and they're trying to attack you because you're the security guard, because you're an adult, but, like, they don't attack kids. It's, like, a lot of things where when you piece it together, too, it, like, almost feels a little bit like an achievement.
Yeah. You know? Especially when they started, like, really expanding upon it in the third game. Yeah. I think is when they like, kind of locked in with William Afton and whatever. It really started to feel like... I think they just kind of did that because the format might have started getting a little stale.
Yeah.
But it was the right call, I think.
Speaking of William Afton.
Ooh.
Ooh. Character design and horror elements. How do you guys feel about the character design for FNAF? Compared to new now?
The design of the characters in the original games, just like the way the game simply looks, it has this very like specific look and atmosphere, which I just really love. It didn't look real per se, it didn't look realistic, but like it was super eerie the way that he's able to design each character and give them each their own little personality. I think it was very well done. Yeah,
especially with the original four, like you could take their character, completely black it out, and you could tell like who's who. You know, Freddy has his little hat with the microphone, Foxy has his hook, Chica has the cupcake, and Bonnie has his guitar and ears, right? So it's not just the fact that, oh, they're animals, but they have some sort of specific role in the restaurant so they can have these items that relate to them. That's one of the things, like, in terms of now, the character design feels really whimsical. Like, we have, especially in Security Breach, we got the massive DJ, you know? Don't get me wrong, it's cool. We also have another massive dude in Secret of the Mimic. It just feels a bit, it's scary, but not as identifiable. You could see by just the fact that I still remember for like Foxy, Bonnie, Chica, Freddy, like their items. I have no clue what any of the people from the Mimics, like what their items are.
Mm.
It also is hard because it's a 3D type world. That means that they have to animate it more, right? They have to use those items to interact with the world.
They did it pretty successfully in that aspect with Security Breach in comparison. Like, even though, like, they had that huge DJ Music Man or they had the Sun Moon guy, whatever, like, I think they generally were able to pull off each character feeling complete in that game as, like, a thing that feels real. Whereas I don't know if I could point out any Secret of the Mimic characters in if they were in, like, a crowd of fan-made animatronics, where it just kind of feels like they're not... I think they're going too specific. Like you said, the first games had such a, like, great art style where it felt realistic, but it's kind of like that art trick where, like, it doesn't have to be perfectly exact to reality to feel realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And they do such a good job of feeling like uneasy, and like all of these characters just have their own personality, even if they're so simple. Whereas, I don't know, there's like that Jack in the Box character in the new one. That's probably the only one I can think of, but I don't know much about them.
And it also peaks in different things. Like, in my opinion, FNAF 3, the atmosphere was at its scariest.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's not just an animatronic. Like, that Springtrap's an actual dude, you know?
But then they have Watermelon Head.
And his old, I get that his jump scare isn't really that scary. He doesn't really... He just shows up, bro. But
the fear of waiting for him to show up is what makes it so scary.
Like, he'll be there, and, you know, there's nothing you could do about it. It's almost like in FNAF 1 when you try to close the door, and it doesn't work because the dude's already, you know, one of the animatronics is already inside. It increases fear because you're like, shoot, you know, I can't do anything about it. I do like scary atmospheres the most, though.
Yeah.
Where it's like, especially when you know something that the character you're controlling doesn't. So, like, you can see something move from the peripheral vision. But then the goal is saying, oh, you have to go in that direction or something. And you're like, shoot, bro, there's something there.
It's like the contrast between FNAF 3 and 4, where FNAF 3 is all atmospheric fear. But FNAF 4 is like big, scary monsters with tons of teeth and like they're in your bedroom. And I think both are very good in their own rights. They're just very different experiences.
Yeah, like those first, I would say those first three games, like the atmosphere in those games was just top tier. And like, that's really what I think was made those games scary. Like, yeah, the jump scares were scary too, obviously, when you're a kid playing Five Nights at Freddy's and you get jump scared. But like, the atmosphere is really what, just hearing those little atmospheric noises and, you know, just looking at the cameras and seeing those empty hallways, like, that's what really, like, made it terrifying.
I think my favorite one that I could remember from the first game was when you had, like, the kitchen camera, but it was turned off. So you, instead of watching, you had to, like, hear for, like, Chica rummaging. Like, you hear, like, metal pots and pans. Like,
yeah,
I think
exactly.
That's so much cooler and so much more atmospheric than, like, if you just see them there, like, staring at the camera. And I think that's pretty cool for the rest of the cameras, but having variety is really what makes it stand out so much.
That's a great example, yeah.
Dude, I really wanted to see what was behind that, like, in the kitchen zone, man. Oh, my God. Because, like, okay.
What was she rummaging through?
I don't know, man. Maybe she was looking for a weapon or something. Like, who knows, bro?
Pizza.
Pizza?
Pizza.
How to make FNAF not scary.
FNAF.
Oh my
Dude,
gosh. Man.
FNAF memes.
We watched those videos so many times.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with that.
Did you guys ever watch, like, I think it's SMG4 or something?
Yeah.
Five Nights at Freddy's one.
It's really funny that they were making those videos and now they're producing, like, The Amazing Digital Circus or, like, whatever the other shows are, like...
My favorite one, dude, was Mario and Baldi's Basics, bro.
It's just so, like... looking back at it, it's, like... It's so dumb, but at the time, being, like, a child watching these, is like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Dude,
when the tables turned at the end, too, and it was, like, Freddy in the security room, like, Mario is on the cameras. Like, even memes, too. Like, memes for FNAF is so funny as well, because you know the game is scary, but then it's like,
that's really what makes the game so iconic, I think. Like, there's the lore and the atmosphere and whatever that popularized the game, but I think all the memes and, like, you know, is that the bite of 87 or like other stuff like that that comes from the videos that so many people watched, it's like, that's really what makes it such a cultural phenomenon.
That's, like, a good way to transition into talking about, like, YouTube and Five Nights at Freddy's, right? Like, just how it was mutually beneficial for both YouTube and YouTubers and Five Nights at Freddy's, because for Five Nights at Freddy's, like, it really got popular because of all these YouTubers, like Markiplier and Game Theory, just, like, talking about them making all these theories. And then, of course, there's all, like, the fan videos and fan animations. And there's the spin-offs, you know, Five Nights at Candy's, which all very much helped grow FNAF. And then, of course, it's, you know, it's good for YouTube and the YouTubers as well, because they get to grow a fan base and find their own success.
We've talked about this in previous episodes too, that, you know, the community is a big reason why games can get popular and stay popular. We talked about Roblox, for example, Fortnite, not just the game being good, but that the community can reinvent the game. Like, for example, fan-made games especially. Like, there are some that are really good. Like, I think it's called Joy of Creation. That's a fan-made game. And, dude, that was, like, scary, man. Like,
that also reminds me of, like, the FNAF VHS tapes.
Yeah.
Which was, like, the series of, like, fan-made Five Nights at Freddy's videos, which were, like, I almost found to be scarier than the actual games. Like, that's how good it was. So I feel like the fans almost just, like, took things into their own hands and just, like, did their thing.
Anytime a new game comes out, man, I'm watching that from start to finish. Like, it's so, just because the concept is always so cool. Like, you know, I want to see, okay, which animatronic is it this time? You know, what's going on? In the Secret of the Mimic, like, we weren't even at any traditional Five Nights at Freddy's place. It was, like, a place before Five Nights at Freddy's was a thing. So it was cool to see, like, these new, different type of, you know, toys, animatronics, even if they weren't super, super unique, but it was still, like, a variety.
Having them there is what makes it so cool, regardless of, like, how much better or worse they are from the original stuff. Like, I think it's better to have an expansive cast because regardless, you're going to have ups and downs. So you might as well just, like, you know, create this world rather than, like, getting upset about the fact that people don't like your game and so you just stop making them. Like,
yeah.
If Scott Cawthon made FNAF World and then everyone hated on it and he never touched FNAF again, imagine ending on FNAF World because he got upset. Then we wouldn't have, like, Pizzeria Simulator, which I think is the best game. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have, like, any of the glam rocks.
Ultimate Custom Night.
Ultimate Custom Night, yeah.
That was the last game he made, right?
I think he still technically works on them, but he doesn't really, like,
yeah.
I think it's more, like, overseeing than actually making
anything. I don't know, just, like, all the games that he made, that, like, those were just, like, they're very special to me. Like,
for sure. I still like the idea of, like, creating new games. Like, it's a world that I think is fun to have, but in my mind, the story kind of ends at FNAF 6 because it's just such a beautifully sad ending.
Mm.
Though I do like the new game. Like I said, I really enjoyed Security Breach, even though I don't think it's perfect and I don't think it really fits very well in expanding the lore. It's still very fun.
There's the movies as well.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that?
I need to watch the second one, but the first one, I think I saw, like, opening day.
Yeah, I didn't see the second one either. I saw the first one. Not the biggest fan. Not the biggest fan, because it obviously was trying to, like, cater to, like, as many people as possible. And in the end, just being kind of, eh, like, I wanted more out of it. When I expect a Five Nights at Freddy's movie, I'm just, like, I had this idea in my mind, and it just wasn't really.
For sure.
That's just how I felt about it. I was a little let down.
I think it was an okay movie. It didn't have to be based on FNAF for the story to stay the same because it wasn't really connected too much aside from, like, the characters of it all. And I guess, like, Springtrap at the end, but that doesn't really, like, work with the games very well. It's its own thing. I think it's its own universe. So I'm indifferent to it, I feel like.
That's fair.
There was something I was going to say. And of course, at that moment, I forgot. I'll think of it right now.
Think really hard.
I'm gonna think as hard as I can, man.
Do you have, like, a favorite game or, like, a favorite animatronic or something like that?
Yeah, okay.
Toy Chica. No, kidding.
Yeah, no, I like that idea.
Okay.
My favorite game would have to be probably FNAF 2. It took the first game and it just, like, it went even harder. Like, the atmosphere, again, great. Like, you got brand new animatronics, you got, you know, the whole mask system, and you got the music box. Like, I feel like it just improved upon everything in the first game. And
it was, like, a perfect execution of a second game without, like, overstaying its welcome or, like, trying to do too much.
Yeah.
It was, like, kind of just the perfect second game in the franchise.
Yes, literally is perfect. And then for a favorite animatronic, I mean, I guess he's not really an animatronic, but, like, Springtrap, I just, like, his whole character and backstory and how the fact that it's just, like, a rotting, like, corpse inside of this, like, animatronic. Like, it's just such a cool character idea, and I think he's sick.
Yeah. Nice. So for my favorite game, like, I'm a sucker for, like, open world games, man. I have to say Security Breach. Like, I know it was super buggy and stuff, but I just liked it so much. Favorite character, man? Vanny. No, I'm kidding. it's Ennard, because, like, dude, he's just crazy, man. I kind
of
like it.
That's a good pick.
I think Ennard's so underrated. The idea of, like, all of the sister location animatronics kind of, like, fusing together and becoming an entity in the scoop or scooper or whatever was so cool.
Yeah, I agree.
I said before my favorite game is Pizzeria Simulator. Oh, yes. I think it's such a fun game, and I think it's a good blend of, like, the original, like, format, but also adding in, like, a bunch of new things.
Mm-hmm.
The Pizzeria Simulator part was, like, silly and fun, but I like more of this. Like, there's so many secrets in that game that are so cool. Favorite character? I mean, I love Mr. Hippo. He's, in Ultimate Custom Night, he's so funny, and I just, like, I don't see a world where he'd ever come back, but I hope he does.
He was great.
He's going to give me another monologue.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll give you a monologue to make this 10 minutes longer.
Exactly. Well, that is it for episode 3, season 2 of the Gamers Workshop. We have our friend Andrew here. He's not going to be here next week, though. Unfortunate. But hey, that's why he's so special, because distance makes the heart grow fonder. And I hope you guys will be super fond for our next episode. It's Stuart's, huh? He's not really here. Well, you guys will find out next week when we record. See ya.
Thanks for watching the Gamers Workshop. Let me run you through the menu. Here's the pause screen. And here's the quit button. Are you sure you want to quit? Okay.